Hello and welcome to this special music education conference session. Now you can probably tell with an accent like mine that I'm based in Australia. And if you ask music teachers in my country who they looked up to as a mentor in music education, then most often you'll get one response, and that is Richard Gill. Now when we asked our worldwide mailing list who to invite, the response we received asking for Richard was overwhelming. Now he's become well known recently because of his very popular music advocacy TEDx talk. But his career goes a lot deeper than that. Now this man has been teaching music for over 50 years. He's one of Australia's preeminent and most admired conductors, as well as conducting every major symphony orchestra in Australia. He's also highly in demand as a youth orchestra conductor. He's also the founding music director of the Victorian Opera, and is currently the Artistic Director for the Education Program for the Sydney Symphony Orchestra. Welcome, Richard Gill.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be talking about music education.
I think you're going to serve as a true inspiration to many teachers out there, that's for sure.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you.
Look, just to get us started, Richard, could you tell us a little bit about your background and how did you become the world well-known conductor that you now are?
Look, I never think about those things in compartments. I started life as far as education is concerned. I started as a student at what was then known as the New South Wales State Conservatorium of Music, and I entered a course in 1959 which was designed to teach, to train musicians to teach in secondary schools. So it was, the course was called Special Music. It was a four-year course, and I got into that course in 1959, as I said. I graduated in 62, although we really didn't call it graduation then because there was no degree or diploma attached to that course. And then I started teaching high school music in 1963, and that's when I really got thoroughly hooked on the idea of teaching. And so conducting sort of happened almost like an afterthought. And I've sort of, my, what should we say, journey, I think is the fashionable word these days. My journey in music has been one of teaching composers, teaching conductors, conducting, doing workshops. It has involved all sorts of things. But right at the basis of it, I think, is teaching. And conducting is also a form of teaching. So I think I like to think of myself as being primarily a musician, trying to be a musician, in which teaching, conducting and composing occupy various parts.
Fantastic. So, you know, it all stems from the teaching for you then.
It does, yeah, because What struck me when I was a young teacher was the impact that music could have on children's lives. Mm. And it wasn't just classical music, because I don't think there is a virtue in saying children must have only classical music or they won't understand. That's not true. What children need is a lot of music from which they can make decisions, to which they can listen, to which then they can make responses in the form of analysis and make decisions about what they hear, and then subsequently write pieces of their own. So there are so many things that one can do in music, but the real basis of it is composition, and I got that message pretty clearly when I first started teaching.
Mm. So you've had such a successful and very varied career too in lots of ways. It's all been based on music, of course, Richard, but, you know, you've been everything from high school music teacher through to, you know, the head of music at the conservatoriums and now in opera companies. What's one of the highlights of your career, if you can even break it down to one or maybe a few of your top highlights?
Look, I think Obviously, there are things you remember that you've done, and you think about particular concerts or particular, particular lessons you've given. For me, I understand the question, but I find it really, really a difficult one to answer because, without wishing to sound patronizing about this, I don't think I've had what I consider to be the highlight. Mm. And I'll tell you why. Pardon me, I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
I am deeply concerned that in Australia, not every child has access to music education. Now, I'm trying to do something about that, and what I'm trying to set up here in this country is the National Institute of Music Teaching, where we identify the very good music teachers that exist all over Australia.
Mm.
We harness their energies and we use them as people who in-service teachers who are currently in the classroom. And we do it in very small stages. We start with kindergarten, first grade and second grade, so prep through to second grade. And we try to give these teachers materials and things they can use with their students, but not stopgap measures, but teach them really how to teach music.
Mm.
And if we could get that happening, if we could have every child in Australia had access to a properly trained music teacher, and if that happens before I die, I would say that would be the highlight.
Mm.
So the highlight, to answer the question, is yet to come.
Fantastic.
Because there's nothing to say that Australian children aren't as clever as Argentinian children or Finnish children or Swedish children. We all know that. We all know that basically children are the same the whole world over. But what we don't know is how many children out there have unbelievably wonderful musical gifts and they've never been discovered because they haven't had a teacher.
Mm. And what I really love about you, Richard, is your ability to dream big and to put that into action. I mean, where does a program like that, how does it start?
Well, I'm already talking to Paul Dean at the Australian National Academy of Music. And it seems to me that because there is in Australia an organisation known as the Australian National Academy of Music, that would be a good base for the organisation. Pardon me. And I'm not looking to create a new bureaucracy. I'm not looking to create millions of bureaucratic jobs and official jobs, but enough administration to organise these teachers all over the country. Now, I've spoken at national conferences, CODA conference, ORF conferences, etc., and I've floated these ideas out there, and the response has been overwhelmingly positive.
Mm.
There is a wonderful will in this country to try and address this situation of inequality with music, and it comes from really good teachers. Now, there are fabulous people all over Australia that we just need to identify. So we would use the Academy as a base, use the Academy as the administrative base, if you like, and with one or two people in there who are who could organise the administrative aspect of it, get the school districts and the school communities organised, and during the summer holidays or the September holidays, when the Academy is having a break, we bring those teachers in to Melbourne and we give them classes in method, give them classes in repertoire, bring great teachers down to work with them and do exactly the same with instrumental teaching so that the National Academy is seen not just as a focus of training outstanding performers, but realises that unless you have wonderful teachers working with children early enough, you won't have an Academy of Music. there won't be a line of performers coming through. So that's what I'm working on at the moment. And Paul Dean has been very receptive to the idea. So one way or the other, it will happen.
Fantastic. It sounds like it's well in progress already by the way you're talking about it.
Sorry, Janet, I missed
it,
that.
It sounds like it's currently in progress at the moment, the way you're talking about it.
Certainly does. I think you have to think that way. I have to think that it's going to happen because it's essential. It's necessary for our children.
And I think every music teacher out there would totally agree with that, and other teachers as well that would love to have access to quality music education.
Yeah. And it helps the child not just in music but in so many other ways, but that's another.
That's right, of course. Look, Richard, you're quoted as saying that music is important for every single child. Why is it so important for every child?
Well, I think arts education, music, dance, drama, visual arts and the like, are important in the life of every child because they stimulate, in the first instance, the imaginative side of the child's brain and the child's mind. Each one of the art forms behaves differently. So music is different from drama. Drama is different from painting and sculpture and the like, ceramics, whatever, and so on. So all the arts have unique and special qualities. Now, within those qualities, music, I believe, is the most abstract of the arts. In other words, it deals exclusively in sound, which is only comprehended orally. Can't touch it, can't feel it, can't smell it, can't see it apart from on the page. But you have to be able to hear it. Now, hearing, we know, is the first faculty to be developed in the child, in the sense that we know the child can hear in the womb. Now, I don't know whether the child can taste or touch or whether that's possible in the womb. I don't know that. But we do know the child can hear. So hearing becomes quintessential to the existence of the child from birth. And it's through hearing that children begin to understand their mother's voice, their father's voice, the voices around them. And from the singing of songs, early songs, and speaking to the baby before it even speaks, we know things are going into the brain. So this concept of hearing and the concept of listening also become vital. Now, music can be done before the child has any concept of drama or painting or visual arts or anything else, because very, very early in the child's life we can sing to the child and recite rhymes, etc. I'm not saying all those other things can't be done at some stage later, but music, singing to children when they're first born, makes an enormous amount of sense. Now, this is a very long-winded answer, but I don't want to skirt around any, I don't want to cut corners, right?
And these are very important details, so it's important that you take the time you need, Richard.
Yes, well, I just think that once we get that idea that listening is crucial, we then build up the child's capacity to concentrate and the child's capacity to focus, so that listening to things which are abstract require perceptive listening from the child, and then later discriminative listening, in other words, to be able to tell whether the things are fast or slow or high or low, all those relative things about sound. Now, that listening and that capacity to focus, that capacity to concentrate, not only then work for music, but also have a profound impact on all learning within the child's life. So if you've got the child listening and focused, concentrating through music, my view is that you would have those children focusing, listening, and concentrating in all other areas. Now, I want to make something really, really clear. We don't teach music so that children can become good at maths or spelling or language. They are what I'd call byproducts or happy results, but not reasons.
Mm.
We teach music because what music does, it does in a special way, different from all other arts, and works on the heart and the mind, the soul and the imagination of the child in a particular way. And it does it differently from all other arts. They are, those reasons and those aspects of music are enough to have music taught. But in the age of justification, it would be unrealistic to think that we can say to a school principal, music is good, that's why it should be taught.
Mm.
Because regrettably, we don't think like that anymore. So like all philosophies, we have to evolve and grow. And so we have to be able to point out to principals, school authorities, school boards, school districts, etc., that music provides children with a very, very secure and safe basis for all learning activity. So it's important from its aesthetic point of view. It's important from the fact that it increases concentration and a child's capacity to listen and comprehend. And it's important because as a byproduct, it has impact on other learning.
So I really do hope that you enjoyed this little excerpt from my virtual conference interview with the inspirational Richard Gill. Now, this is just the start of it. And in the rest of the interview, Richard shared loads of other ideas on how you can go ahead and motivate and inspire students and advocate for music in your schools. Now, I've listened to this over and over, and I always get loads of different things from it. Now, if you purchased the ticket back in July this year, then congratulations to you, because you can still access all of the materials from the virtual conference website for another 6 months. And if you didn't purchase a ticket and you'd still like to check it out, then please go ahead and follow the links below, because we've got a very small number of USB sticks still available with all the conference content, and we're going to be selling it just during the month of December. Now, these will only be available until they're sold out. So go ahead, make sure you grab one right away if you're interested and use it over the holidays. So I hope this was helpful for you in advocating for music. And I think it's something that we always need to keep in mind, no matter what style of music teaching we do. And of course, as always, please feel free to send me your feedback on this video, as well as on all of our other free resources and the events.